This morning, we are going to move from being in stories together to understanding and hearing each other's story. This is us. We're the people of the meeting place. Take a good look around at the people you're sitting with, and we all have a story. And I want to invite you to consider how your story and other people's stories connect with each other. I want you to consider how your story and God's story links together. And so this morning, we are just going to spend a morning storytelling. You're going to hear stories that I'm guessing you've never heard before, maybe with some from some people you've never seen before. But they are part of our community. And I want to invite Irene to come and join me as she tells the first of our stories this morning. And as she's doing it, Irene is a new Canadian. Have a seat, Irene. And imagine yourself going to another country. Imagine yourself going to another country and shortly thereafter finding the boldness to tell the story of your journey to a crowd of people whose life experience has been so different. And so, Irene, we're looking forward to hearing your story.
Thank you, John. My name is Irene Nyambura. I'm from Nairobi, Kenya. I came to Winnipeg over a year ago. I came in August, and I'm glad to be here. It was when I gave my life to Christ and was baptized as a young adult that I really learned what it means to take God at His word. Trusting God for graduate studies in Canada was part of my new faith journey with God. I was working in conflict areas in Africa after graduating from university 10 years ago. Since early 2015, I had been praying and fasting for God's direction about graduate studies. Coincidentally, three friends asked me if I had ever thought of studying in Canada. I did not know anyone in Canada, and it scared me. I was interested in development and peace studies and came across Canadian Mennonite University's new Masters in Peace Building and Collaborative Development. I applied knowing very well I did not have the money and resources needed. I just trusted God to help me to get this desire that was very deep in me. Everything started taking shape, and I was admitted at CMU. Being the first person in my family to go for graduate studies and to do it abroad was very ambitious of me, in quotes. I come from a family of 8 siblings. My parents encouraged me in this journey, although they knew realistically we did not have the means. But I kept trusting God that He would bring me this far and I will not fail. Then in June 2006, I fell sick. And for the first time in my life, I was admitted to a hospital and I used up all my savings for hospital bills. I found out this year that it was undiagnosed anxiety. It was a wake-up call for me, and it became a spiritual warfare. It was a lonely journey. However, friends and family supported me in ways that I could not have imagined. A group of women at my church back at home prayed with me and even prayed that I would find a church in Canada where God's word was key and for a community of believers I could belong to. That prayer was answered with a complete package. On my second Sunday here at TMP, the lady I sat next to helped me connect to a life group, and she also took me back to the bus stop because I didn't know how to get back home. On my second, it is wonderful being in a small group of people that are seeking God as we study the Bible, share and pray for one another. The biggest challenge I face in trusting God is not doubting His word, but doubting His timing. He has been teaching me about the process of waiting and trusting Him in times of uncertainty. I'm learning to have inner peace, and in every step as I pray and trust God what He says in His word. As I wrote my final semester papers in April this year, I set on writing about 38 emails looking for funding for in peace studies in Canada and outside Canada. Only one person responded positively to my email, and he connected me to a key person who was actually looking for new ways to connect with my university for peace-related events. I was also frantically looking for summer work to help me pay for my second year of studies, and was getting discouraged when a surprise offer came for a one-month assignment back at home. This gave me a chance to go see my family for a few days. I had never imagined I would meet them before I graduated in 2018. I came back to Winnipeg in July and reapplied for a new study permit. And just as I was waiting for the permit, A family in Ontario asked me if I would help them with some work as they were moving house. The best time of my summer, was spending time with their children, singing and praying with them. I came back to Winnipeg this past weekend, and on Tuesday, I got a new study permit. I'm so grateful to God as I start a new and final year. When I come back to scriptures and spend time with God in prayer, I find deep assurance that He's with me and He will accomplish His purpose through me. This gives me joy and peace to face each day with courage and to continue trusting Him at His word. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, you said something that I think is true for many of us here today. You didn't have trouble trusting God's word. You had trouble trusting His timing. And the story of your life is a story of God's timing. And that needs to become the story of our lives too. So thanks for sharing your story, Irene.
Good morning. My name is Chris. Earlier this year, some of the young people that often come to church with me decided to sign up for Alpha when it was advertised. Since the Alpha course here at TMP has been offered for adults, the Alpha leader was very thankful when I offered to host this group of six youth who were between the ages of 13 and 19. Our time together turned out to be great. The young people were full of questions and engaged in discussions around our table. At one of the sessions, we were taught how to read the Bible. We were each given a journal, and we practiced a Bible reading exercise together. At the end of the evening, each of the kids were willing to read what they had written in their journal. So as the end of the Alpha sessions was coming closer, three of the kids that you see in the picture voiced their disappointment about no longer coming to church on Tuesday evenings. We talked about it, and they decided that we should continue to meet and study the Bible together. And their idea was to meet on my trampoline once a week. Well, one of the kids immediately created a Facebook group called Bible Study, and we planned our first meeting. They brought their journals, and we read a passage of scripture together and discussed it. Then we read the passage again, each on our own, and picked the verse we felt God was speaking to us about. We wrote that verse out in our journal, what we thought it meant, and how it applied to our lives. At the end, we each wrote out our prayer about this verse, just like we had been taught at Alpha. Each time we meet, I am just blown away by the way these young people want to read God's word. There is, of course, lots of laughter when they jump on the trampoline, but as soon as we decide to start our study, they are fully engaged. Sometimes I'm just amazed at their insightfulness into what a verse means and how it applies to their lives. And other times, we just try to figure out together what it means. One of the girls in our group, Princess, was baptized this year, and here's what she says in her baptism story.
My childhood years were painful. As a child, I was always weak, never able to do whatever other kids could do, because I had a heart problem. I had no strength to do anything, and I was always carried around or pushed on something. Today, I'm 16, and I'm healthy and happy, living the greatest life I ever could live. If you told me this 8 years ago, I probably would have never believed you. I thought I was destined for death. I was 9 years old when I had my biggest surgery. This was when I reconnected with God. Because of what Jesus has done for me and how I know He loves me, I know that I'm destined for great and I'm still here, alive, to live for Him.
I feel so incredibly blessed that God has allowed me to do life with these kids and that I get to continue to walk with them. What about you? Who will you do life with this fall?
You can grab a seat. Time for another story. It's a delight for me to be able to introduce to you Rachel. And we have a Portuguese language service here because there's many Brazilians who have become part of this community. And Rachel, you're one of the newest additions to the Brazilian community here.
Yeah.
Now, I will say it wrong every time. Can you say your name in Portuguese so we say it, hear it properly?
Yeah, in Portuguese it's Raquel.
So,
but can be Rachel, is the same.
So Raquel is just learning her English, and so we're going to do this in translation too.
Yeah.
But you have the opportunity later on to help her practice her English if you'd like.
Please.
Now, you've only been here for a few months. And yep. In the first week you were here, you came to the meeting place. Tell us the story, because some things happened that maybe surprised you.
Yeah, I was speaking Portuguese because I'm nervous for being here. So Marina would help me with the translation. So, na verdade, fazia uma semana, já que eu estava aqui no Canadá. Eu estou morando com a Bia e com o Henry, que são dessa igreja. E eles me falaram daqui, então eu vim para cá.
So actually, there was 1 week that I was in Canada. And I reside with Bia and Henry. They both attend the meeting place. And I decided to come by myself to attend the church that day.
Isso. Era 9 de julho, na verdade. Eu estava sozinha aquele final de semana. Então, eu vim com um carro para a igreja.
So, it was on July 9th. I was by myself. I decided to come driving with their car.
O culto foi muito bom, eu senti uma paz desde o primeiro louvor, gostei bastante desse lugar.
The worship was amazing. I really felt a huge peace in the whole service and I really enjoyed a lot this service that day.
Yeah. E no final do culto, eu encontrei uma colega da escola, conversei com ela um pouco, conheci o pastor Wayne, perguntei sobre as atividades da igreja.
So in the end of the service, I met a girlfriend, a friend of mine, who attends the same English as a second language school, and we were talking, and eventually Pastor Wayne came to join us, and we were discussing about live study groups.
Yep. Até aí tudo bem, né? E aí quando eu voltei para pegar meu carro, o carro não estava lá.
And then when I left the church and I went to pick my car up, the car wasn't there.
E eu fiquei pensando comigo, eu nunca fui assaltada no Brasil e vou ser assaltada logo na minha primeira semana no Canadá.
I thought to myself, I have never been stolen in Brazil my whole life, and in my first week in Canada, I will have the car stolen.
Pois é. Eu comecei a ficar desesperada, eu vi o pastor Wayne passando, eu comecei a gritar por ele e tentei explicar o que estava acontecendo, mas eu não conseguia explicar em inglês porque eu estava muito nervosa.
So I got desperate. I saw Pastor Wayne going through, and I called him, and I started talking, and I couldn't make myself clear because he couldn't understand Portuguese.
Mas Deus é tão bom que minutos antes eu acabei pegando o telefone dessa minha amiga da escola.
And a couple of minutes before, I realized that I had my friend's contact in my phone.
E eu liguei para ela e ela estava com a Milena e elas voltaram para tentar me ajudar.
So I called her and she was with Milena and they came back to the church.
Então a Milena ligou para a polícia, tentaram localizar o carro. Eu não tinha nenhum documento, não tinha nenhuma informação sobre o carro, mas eles me ajudaram mesmo assim.
So Milena called the police and believe it or not, I had no information about the car. I had no driver, no license plate, model, anything. But they could figure where was the car.
E no fim, aconteceu que o carro foi guinchado.
And it ended up that the car had been towed.
Welcome to Winnipeg.
Yeah, thank you. Eu estacionei de um lado da rua que não poderia naquele lugar. Eu não tinha ideia sobre isso.
I parked in a forbidden zone and I had no clue about the rules in Winnipeg.
Pois é. E nesse momento eles tentando me ajudar, ligando, né, descobrindo onde estava o carro, eu comecei a pensar comigo mesma. Estava bem nervosa.
And in that moment that all the people were trying to figure how to help me, I thought to myself about many things and I start feeling overwhelmed.
E eu comecei a chorar.
And I start crying.
E pensando o que eu vou fazer agora? O carro não é meu, eu não falo direito a língua, não sei o que eu vou fazer, não sei se eu vou ter dinheiro.
What am I going to do now? I don't have, it's not my car. I have nothing about the car. I don't have a driver's license, an Canadian driver's license. I don't even have money to pay for the toll.
E nesse momento, o pastor Wayne virou para mim e falou.
And in that moment, Pastor Wayne came to me and said,
não se preocupe, vai ficar tudo bem.
Do not worry, everything will be okay.
Nós somos uma igreja, uma família.
We are church, we are family.
E a gente vai te ajudar a tirar o carro de lá.
We're gonna help you to take the car from there.
E tome isso como presente de boas-vindas ao Canadá.
We're going to pay the bill and take that as a welcome gift in Canada.
E eu chorei mais pouco e eu só consegui agradecer.
And I kept crying and I just could say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Pode ser uma coisa bem simples para alguns, mas quando você está sozinha num país diferente, que você não fala a língua muito bem,
it might sound very, very like a little thing for many people, but you think that when you are in a new country, you don't know how to speak English, it is a big deal.
E pessoas que nunca te viram, não tem nada a ver com seu problema, voltam e te ajudam com isso.
And when you think that all these people, they never have seen you before, and they are there to help you, and they are willing to do what needs to be done, it really means a lot.
Yeah. Foi momento bem ruim, mas eu consegui sentir a paz e as mãos de Deus em mim.
It was a very, very tough moment, but I could feel God's hand in that moment.
You know, that Sunday, Laurel was teaching on Acts chapter 2, the story of the very first early church, and how they lived together and how they took care of each other. And there's just an amazing connection between your story and the Acts 2 story. And just tell me how you experienced that.
Yeah, no final desse capítulo fala sobre a comunhão entre a igreja, né, dos cristãos.
So in the end of Act 2, it talks about the relation with the community and the church.
E foi exatamente isso que eu senti naquele dia.
And was exactly what I felt that day.
Com as palavras do pastor Wayne, o abraço da Michelle.
The words that I heard from Pastor Wayne and the big hug that I received from Michelle, who works here.
Eu me senti parte de uma grande família de Cristo.
I felt like part of a big family of Christ.
E não importa o país que eu esteja, nós somos só corpo.
And it does not matter the country that I am from, we are only a big body of Christ.
Nesse momento, para mim, foi muito marcante, porque fazia pouco tempo que eu estava aqui, mas eu consegui sentir Deus me guiando e provando que está na frente de tudo.
That was a remarkable moment for me, and I could feel that God is leading me wherever I am.
So what does your future in Canada look like?
So, eu vim aqui para estudar inglês.
So
né?
I came here to study English.
Eu vou ficar aqui até dezembro, imagino.
I'm planning to stay here until December, I think.
Tô com pouquinho de medo do inverno.
I'm a little bit scary about the winter.
Mas quando eu sentia que eu precisava vir para cá, para esse país.
I felt that I had to come to this country.
Eu estava muito ansiosa pelo meu intercâmbio, com medo do que eu encontrar aqui.
I was very anxious about my study and what I would face here.
Mas quando eu contei essa história para os meus pais,
when I just told this story to my parents,
eles sentiram que era uma resposta de Deus, que Deus estava cuidando de mim aqui também, que eu não estou sozinha.
They felt that it was God's hands in her life that she wasn't by herself here.
Então, pode ser que eu fique mais tempo do que eu planejei.
I might stay here longer than I'm planning.
Mas tudo bem, minha vida está nas mãos de Deus.
But my life, I know that my life, it is in God's hands.
Well, you're learning English. Yeah. And look around, there's lots of us who you can practice English with. We speak English very badly, so we'll practice our English on you too.
Yeah, they so. Can help me, please.
Let's give her a hand. Thank you. Now think about this. If you were to consider the top 100 stories of all time, of all history, what would make the list? What stories would make the list of the very best stories of all time? You know, many of us wouldn't consider our own story to make the list. And yet our own stories are of great concern to God. He knows the beginning, he knows the middle, he knows the end. He knows the conflicts that happen along the way. He knows the highs and the lows. And he's there with us in the midst of all those stories. Now, if I think about the greatest stories ever told, I think the one that's got to be at the top for me has to be a story that Jesus told. It's incredibly famous. It's no doubt the most famous of his parables. the parable of the prodigal son. Or maybe it's the parable of the prodigal sons. Or maybe it's the parable of the prodigal father. You decide. So I have two sons. The oldest is an awful lot like me. Ambitious, a go-getter. He's going to get things done. He's going to achieve things in life. The youngest, he's fancy-free. He's a dreamer. He goes after experiences and adventures. You can imagine how the two of them might not get along so well. And as they grew older, we talked less, much to my sadness, and I longed to know what was happening in their heads and in their hearts. And one day, my youngest son says to me, "Dad, can we talk?" And I said, "For sure." So we sit down and we have a conversation, but it didn't go like I expected. And no, not at all. He goes, "Dad, I think it's time for me to leave home, and I'm off. This is not an adventure. I am moving, and it'll be far away. The likelihood of us seeing each other in the future is very low, just realistically. And so I've decided to ask for my share of the inheritance." His share of the inheritance. Now, imagine this. It's like he wanted me dead. And I thought about it for a bit. I said, some lessons may be only learned the hard way. And so, I sold some of our business holdings, and I mortgaged some of the land, and I basically came up with about half of the cash for his part of the estate and gave it to him. And shortly after that, he was on his way. I watched his awkward gait move into the sunset. And I stood at those gates almost every day looking for his return. But weeks turned into months. And months even turned into years. And he was off doing probably his dreaming, and the money was going to no good use. My eldest son, when he found out what I had done, he came, he stood before me, he spat on my shoes and said, "Your son is dead to me. He is not my brother any longer." And a stony silence entered our lives. If there was little conversation before, there was even less now. And I waited every supper for him to also return. Oh, he sat there, but we were far apart. And so, as was my custom, one evening I'm standing, looking into the horizon, and my son has this really awkward walk. And I recognized it from a great distance, and I ran to meet him. Now, a man with any dignity would not run to his son, especially not after his son humiliates him in this way. But I ran because I love my son. And so as I ran to him, he approached me. He falls down. He goes, "Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you." But before he could get much further, I said, no, this is the way it is. Bring him new clothes. He badly needs them. He'd run out of his money, evidently. And get him a shower. He really needs that too. And put on the stakes. We are going to throw a party. And so the party started. Old friends regathered, family gathered around, and certainly all the employees. And my eldest, who was far away, he approached late in the day. And he had not heard of anything that had happened. But he hears the music and the dancing, and he goes, "What is going on?" One of the other employees in the house said, "Your son, your brother, the one who is lost is found, the one who is dead, he's alive." And my eldest flew into a rage. I came out to talk to him. I could not reason with him. I said, "Your brother, who was lost to us, is found." But he'd hear none of it. And so my heart still breaks for a lost son who's returned and a son who never left, who is yet to be found. The story of the prodigal son is your story. The story of the prodigal son is my story. And we have a prodigal God who will run to us doing the outrageous and the lavish so that we could experience forgiveness, so we could experience wholeness, so we could be brought back into family and into community. This story is so powerful because it speaks to your and my condition, the condition of our hearts. It speaks to the circumstances of our relationships, so often broken. It speaks to our hopes and dreams and aspirations, often not turning out the way we thought they might. But God is the prodigal God who runs to meet you and to meet me in the midst of our confusing, broken, and painful story. So which son are you? Let me go even further. Could it be that you're the father? That God, who's created you in his image, says, I want father things from you. I want you to be that grandparent who forgives the outrageous. I want you to be that grand, entirely loving father or mother who will do things that were unexpected, who will forgive when it doesn't seem justified, and who will continue living in relationship even when there's great pain. God knows that we're prodigals, each and every one of us. We have the opportunity to return or sit in stony silence. But more than that, we have the opportunity to be community creators, because it's the Father who throws the party for the long-lost son. And it's the Father who sits with his son, who's never left and yet is so far away, with great patience, knowing that one day, too, he may return. God has given us an incredible gift in this story. It's top of my list. It's number one out of 100. And your list, your name, your story, it's on God's list too. Because you are the prodigal, and I am the prodigal, and he is also the prodigal God.
Hi, I'm Larry, and this is my wife, June. Over the last few years, we've experienced major changes in our lives, bringing us closer to Jesus. I grew up in a Roman Catholic family, but we were very much Sunday Christians, and Jesus was not part of our family life.
Like Larry, I was raised in a home where we had religion, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus.
We were married in a United Church, which we attended for about 2 years. Most of my adult life was about working and the usual routine of raising a family. We attended church occasionally, usually at Christmas and Easter. We considered ourselves fairly good people.
Life was great, but I remember something telling me there was more.
The Holy Spirit intervened 3 years ago when we were temporarily subletting an apartment across the street from the meeting place.
One Sunday morning, I looked down and told Larry there were lots of people walking into the building across the street. We came and listened to John's message, and when we left, we looked at each other and decided that we wanted more of God.
I had borrowed a Bible on our way out, as I had thumbed through it earlier, and liked the explanation at the beginning of each book. Earlier in life, I had periodically attempted to read the Bible, but gave up after two or three books. It was different now. I bought a study Bible, and it opened a whole new level of understanding. They had an explanation for each chapter. I couldn't put it down. For the first time, I was learning the message rather than reading like a novel. With the message came understanding of what a relationship with Jesus really meant.
We've been married 53 years without hearing and listening to our Savior, and consider it a miracle that now we both hear and listen to him.
So as you've heard from my parents, I grew up in a great home and was aware of God but did not have the faith. In my teens, up until a short time ago, I had a hard time falling asleep because I was always worried about death and what happens afterwards. I thought there must be something afterwards, but could not figure out what it was, and it kept me awake at night. So when I moved out from home, I was on a mission to get all the things that seemed to make a life complete. To live the dream with all the material things. I worked a lot of hours, worked really hard to get where I am. But I still found it ended up with a lot of broken relationships. My wife and I met a short time later. I believe Marilyn was brought to me for a reason. And together, through the sermons we've listened to, it's brought us to God and a better future for ourselves. Some might say at that point we were living the dream. We were very comfortable with everything we had, all the material possessions we had. We had a nice house, we had good jobs, we had retirement. Everything was going really well, or so we thought. We came across TMP quite by accident. Came across a sermon that brought a lot of feelings that we had, and it made us realize we still had a lot of deep brokenness that we wanted to fix. last year from Mother's Day, my mom was really kind of wrapped up in this church thing. I knew she'd be really happy if I came to Mother's Day. And I came, quite honestly, for her. I knew it was a better gift than anything I could buy for her. She really appreciated it. The following year, I came, and I actually told my mom I was coming for me, not for her, because I wanted to be there. And then from there, I went to my dad's baptism, which when Dad got into this, it was like, okay, this is really something now. I need to watch what's going on. I saw my dad get baptized. It was amazing. And that's probably from there where I kind of thought I better figure out what's going on here. I borrowed my dad's Bible as it had notes on the side to further explain things that I wasn't quite understanding. I remember sending an email to my mom about a family relationship, and as I was typing it, it didn't feel like I was typing it. I mean, obviously I was typing it, but there was something else inside of me that was coming out and sharing with my mom. I think that's probably where I felt the presence of Jesus within me. So I talk to God and Jesus every day now. It might be on my way to work. I ask Him how I'm doing. I pray for other people that they'll find Jesus and have the happiness that I have. It's opening a whole new world for me. I just can't seem to get the information in as fast as I want it. There's so much to learn. Very often I feel an uncontrollable happiness during the day for no apparent reason. I don't feel the guilt that I used to have. I really think that by having Jesus in my life, He's taken a lot of guilt away from me. Or so it's not hindering me so much. I feel now where I am, my mission now as a Christian is to spread the light that I think people can probably see in me and the difference that it's made in me, to spread it to other people and let them feel the presence of the Holy Spirit.
This is a God thing. It's about you, but it's even more.
It's more about what's happened to me because of it.
I celebrate.
There's still a long ways to go.
Of course.
I always think of
Still
under construction.
So maybe you're like Larry and June, who just saw what was happening and decided to walk in, and this is the first time for you. Well, if it is, then a special welcome to you. And you might find the church is a strange place, and these are a bunch of strange people, and we're talking about a story that is also unfamiliar to you. We'd love to get to know you. Ask anybody on stage about the story of Jesus, and we'd love to share it. Now, I also have a balloon in my hand because at the back along the In Our Church wall where you can discover all the ways you can connect and serve here at TMP, there will be people with balloons tied to their wrists, much like mine is tangled around mine. And you can say, hey, I'm interested in being in a life group. I'm interested in serving, and they will connect you and direct you the right way. This is a great day to do this. Next week, we're not wearing the balloons, so this is the day, okay? And next week, also, we will begin a new teaching series, and the series is called Adulting or Adulting. Now, I have a 20-year-old, and she had a few friends over, and so I asked them, what's the right way to say it? They couldn't agree. Half of them said adulting, and the other half said adulting. So tomato, tomato, potato, potato, you know how it is, right? But this is really a series about spiritual growth, and how can we grow up spiritually? And I invite you back for what we think is going to be a great series together. Next Sunday, also in the afternoon, is TMVP, which is when our covenant community and our volunteers get together to hear about all the great things that are happening in our community and figuring out what's coming next and doing some planning around that. So on your feet, I want to send you with a blessing. Take a look to your left and to your right. This is us. It's our stories that God is weaving together now. And you go into this world knowing that God has given you a story to share, just as Irene has shared her story, just as Chris has shared her story, just as Rochelle has shared her story, and just as Larry and June and Larry have shared their stories. God does amazing stuff in our stories, and it's ours to share. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.